Many years ago, I remember waking up in a hospital bed with a whole group of people in white coats coming. They had stethoscopes, they had the white lab coats. It was clear that they were doctors. And they came and they introduced themselves to me by name. As I lay there looking around at this mob of people, I found myself wondering, who's in charge? Then as they began to examine me, over time their roles became clear. I was in a teaching hospital. One was the attending physician, and the rest were residents. And how did I know who was who? Lots of them were asking me questions. So it wasn't just who was asking the questions, it was what kind of questions they were asking and whom they were checking with about the answers. It became clear that one was the teacher and the rest were disciples. In the gospel reading today, Jesus' disciples are surrounded by people dressed in dazzling white. And they're faced with that question of who's who? Which way should they look? Who's in charge here? And then the voice speaks. This one right here is my son, the beloved. Listen to him. He's the authority. He's the one in charge. In our era, we are facing a crisis of authority. Which sources do we depend on to tell us the truth? Whom do we follow on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram? Have you ever noticed that we're followers? Whose voices do we listen to? You know, we like to believe that we are sensible people and that the truth is clear. Some illusions are obvious. I think many of you may have seen the story that's making the rounds of the internet this week about that legal hearing in Texas where one of the lawyers was having trouble with his Zoom filter and said, it ended up saying, I'm here live. I am not a cat. I'm going to show you a picture of that hearing. All over the internet, people giggled as they saw the cat's eyes moving desperately around, trying to figure out how it could turn into a human again. The judge's reply to the lawyer's comment, "I am not a cat," was classic. I can see that. Some illusions are obvious. And some are not. Are these lines parallel? If you just got slightly seasick, I don't blame you. Your eyes tell you that those lines are not parallel, that they're curved, that they're going different directions. But as a matter of fact, they are parallel. If you were to take out a ruler and measure them, if you were to look at the angles, you would see they are straight and they are parallel. At one level, we know that we can't always trust our senses. We know about optical illusions. We know about other kinds of illusions. But we keep on trusting our senses most of the time, because most of the time we can get away with it. But it's important to remember that what seems obvious to us is not always true. Our gospel reading today says that we are to listen to Jesus, to follow him, that the truth lies with him. Why Jesus? Because Jesus shows us who God is. We're not just truths are, but what the deepest truth is, where reality lies. And Jesus shows us the way of love. One of the great problems we face as a Christian church is that we are surrounded by other voices claiming to be the voice of Jesus. And this has been true throughout the church's history. You only have to think about the Inquisition or the Crusades. I've been reading a book called White Too Long. That is, I'm reading it in small chunks because I can only take it in small chunks. It's so painful to read. And it is the history of the Christian church's defense of and promotion of white supremacy and racism here in the U.S. The theological justifications formed for it, the celebration of it, the way that Christians would go to church on Sunday and pour out of the church to go to a lynching that their preacher had primed them for. But that history of racism in the church is not just in the past. One of the things that the book calls out is how much we in most of our churches are surrounded by racist images. Our saints are all white. Not because they actually were white. If you look at the stained glass windows, they're portrayed as white. But nobody in the Bible was white. They were all people of color. And so, in our stained glass windows, we're surrounded by lies that shape us. One of the things that the book tells us, about is that in many of our Episcopal churches, we have, we often have stained glass windows that depict historical figures and, various plaques and things around the church celebrating people. In many of our churches, there are secessionists and racists celebrated in the stained glass windows. That was true even at the National Cathedral until just a couple of years ago, when they finally raised money to remove those windows and replace them with others. Whom do we hold up as examples? Whom do we celebrate? Whom do we listen to? What shapes us? In our time, it's not just those windows, it's the current voices that call out in the name of Jesus, that call for rejecting and hating the LGBTQ community, that calls for rejecting and hating immigrants And there are the voices that speak as Christian voices, saying that we should ridicule and demean any who disagree with our understanding of truth. And we see examples of Christians doing that. Throughout history and on into our time, there are many who speak in Jesus' voice, in Jesus' name, many who speak in Jesus' name without listening to Jesus' voice. And over against that, we hear the voice from the cloud. This is my beloved Son. This is my Son, the beloved one. Listen. Listen to him. At yesterday's Canterbury Forum, Kempton gave a presentation on the Jesus Seminar and on their attempts to, as well as they could, discern from the Gospels and from the Gospel of Thomas what is the actual authentic historical voice of Jesus. One of the key principles that is used not just by the Jesus Seminar, but by New Gospel scholars in general. I was taught this before the Jesus Seminar really had much play in society, is that the more difficult reading is to be preferred. Kempton mentioned this. The more difficult reading is to be preferred. The one that we don't like, the one we struggle with, the one that causes problems for us because it doesn't agree with what we instinctively think. Now, clearly, that can be carried to a point of absurdity, but it is, in general, a good principle. When we're trying to hear what is the voice of Jesus, the more difficult reading is to be preferred. And Kempton named this in saying that what he understands as at the center, as most authentically the voice of Jesus, is the parable of the prodigal son and the command to love our enemies. The Jesus Seminar recognized those. They're the more difficult reading. They're the thing we don't want to do. And yet, they're at the heart of who Jesus is. Jesus didn't just say that with his voice. He showed us that with his whole life. He shows us that the greatest power does not destroy its enemies. It lays down its life for them. That's the voice of Jesus. That's the one we're called to follow. Love your enemies. And if we're struggling with illusions about what is the voice of Jesus among all these voices that are claiming to speak on Jesus' behalf, I think the words of presiding Bishop Michael Curry are really good ones to listen to. If it's not about love, it's not about God. If it's not about love, it's not about God. Love your neighbor, love yourself, love your enemies. That's the voice of Jesus. And the voices we listen to change us. We are shaped by what we accept as true. Over time, we become like our teachers. Choosing who will teach us is important. We become like our teachers. And so, let's listen to Jesus. not to the voices that call for hate, not to the voices that call for the destruction of people who aren't like us, or even for ridiculing and demeaning them. Let's listen to Jesus so that our faces shine with a reflected light of his love. Let's allow God to transform us day by day by day into Jesus' image so that we become more like him. Let's all of us walk the way of love. Amen.